then she ignored me for about like a couple months. And then I text her back again. Like, hey, you get my message? And she jumped. She told me to jump in a car, and then boom. Yeah, we're just gonna play, right? We're just gonna play. How was your weekend, Josh? How was MIA, man? You do anything fun?
So I'm still here until tomorrow. Tomorrow's when my flight is. But yeah, it's been pretty good, bro. Just been getting away, just being more present. Actually met her side of the family and everything yesterday. Had like a little Christmas party, so that was really cool. Got to speak a little bit of Spanish. Got to dance a little bit. Merengue, bachata, and all that. But it's been fun. Miami is, it's like San Diego. It's just like not, it's just flatter, but it's just humid, But besides that, everything else is pretty. And instead of seeing, a lot of Hispanics and Asians and different cultures like that, you see a lot of like Cubans, Colombians, so it's a different type of melting pot, but it's all the same at the end of the day. But yeah, it's been cool just, resting for the most part and finding time to unwind before I get back to San Diego and really get back on it. So it's been rewarding for sure.
Hell yeah, just man.
My computer's been acting up this whole time, man. I don't know what I did to this thing, but it might be time to
upgrade.
finally put her to rest, bro. She's been battle tested for years now. So
what kind of computer is it and how old is it?
2015 MacBook Pro. It's like the spec'd out one, the last one that they have with like the Intel processor and all that. And it's, yeah, she's coughing right now. Let's say that.
I bet you I can fix it.
Say it again.
I bet you I can fix it.
I have
the same one.
I don't doubt it. Like that's honestly the reason why I haven't upgraded all this time, and especially doing like doing production stuff, whether it's especially post production where it's like heavy graphics and all that. It's because this computer really, especially with the graphics and all that stuff, it's really helped out, or the GPU and the processor and all that, it's really helped out in the long run, more than just the newer generations for the most part, except for the M1. But man, it's fingers crossed right now.
Honey, I'm running a 2015. I also am still running one of the 2012.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And everything still flows perfectly?
My 2012, Big Sur was the first operating system. I can't upgrade to it. It's at that point. Like, gotcha. I hit the phasing point where they will not upgrade it. I'm like, okay.
Oh, wow.
But that one has like a 4 terabyte memory. And it has it has every college project I ever did. It has everything on it.
Wow.
Yeah. It has everything from all the way back through high school. It's got all my data on it. And it still runs just fine. If it's spitting and sputtering though, shoot me a text after the podcast and I will send you a link to an app that you can buy for like $7 that will solve all of your problems.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yep.
Scoop, scoop.
I'll get your info from Dez afterwards.
Perfect.
I'll just get a group chat going. I think I keep forgetting to do that. It'll make my life so much easier. Yeah, I'll do that actually like right now while we're on the podcast. So Josh, man. So me and Heather were just chatting, before the call, just about other stuff in general. And I was talking to her about I was like, man, I got this one dream client. Like, I freaking love working with her. It's like a perfect marriage. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she has a very specific problems that I'm very good at solving. And it's like immediate results, right? Like, for instance, going from charging someone $3,000 to $40,000, right? Mm-hmm. And she gave me some interesting game on, like, so I was like, man, I just need like 10. I'd be happy with just 10 of these, right? Like, I don't need 100. I just need like 10 dream clients. And then she kind of, shifted my paradigm a bit. So I want to just kind of open up about that because I think that's a, you know, kind of a good place to start. So Heather, why can't, like, you know, what's your thoughts on this whole dream customer situation, right? Like, why can I not have 10 dream clients?
Are you waiting for me? I don't want to be waiting for me, you guys.
No. So we had this conversation earlier about like dream clients and unicorns and perfect situations. Mm. And I definitely want to unpack that a little bit more, like, because I just, you know, like, I just want to work with like a very particular specific client with a very particular problem. Don't get me wrong. Like, I can solve it, but like, I think the match energetically, like, you know, I want to be fired up for every person I work with. You know what I mean? So, and then you know, you kind of shifted my paradigm a little bit. So I'm pretty curious for you to kind of unpack that on the pod. Cause I thought it was pretty relevant for today's conversation.
So, here's the first and foremost, like, if you really want to unpack this and you want to dive into this being like the thing, first and foremost, you get to tell a story, and it's, where did you find your unicorn? Who is your unicorn and what makes her a unicorn? And you do it in less than 5 minutes.
I'm going to do less than 60 seconds. So.
No, but I want you to actually unpack it though. Like, this isn't a race. I said less than 5 minutes because I said, but unpack who she is, because you did that for me.
Okay. So this is a woman who's like super, super like niched, a subject matter expert, been doing what she's been doing for almost 2 decades now, really well known in solving a particular problem that has direct impact on performance in the workplace, performance, like how people feel. And then to the bottom line, right, in terms of opportunity costs, like she has a direct impact in bottom lines and how people feel and how when they go home, right? And super powerful woman, super like worth every single dollar. Her clients love her. She has a very like high repeat rate. So people come back time and time and again for additional services, additional stuff. And I met her actually while I was traveling, my first trip to Hawaii when I was there for about 2 months at a wedding. And we just met on the dance floor. You know, she has a husband, I was with my girl, you know, but we just kind of like struck up a conversation. And really, you know, she was just talking to me about, you know, her situation, and I was just asking questions, and I just, you know, was just pouring free game, like not attached to like, you know, securing the bag. Cause at the moment I'm, you know, in the middle of a lot of different transitions with a current book of business. And we kind of ended this 30-minute conversation on the dance floor. I'm like, hey, like I might need to hire you. And I was like, cool, let's book a call. Right. And talk about it. I might be interested as well. She's a super powerful woman. And so we jump on a call. I'm a big fan of performance contracts. So we create a performance contract where it's retainer plus performance for hitting certain milestones, right? So I'll pretty much, I get paid retainer. Then once we hit milestone one, I'll get X amount. Milestone two, and I get X amount. So we're both incentivized to get results, right? Which is the best kind of contracts. And we were going through our process within the first month. You know, we go through this thing I call the doubles game. You know, if you want to know the doubles game, book a call. but essentially what we did was we immediately doubled her revenue with a quick hack, like immediately, right? Because we're trying to get to the goal. And so I gave her this playbook, and she ended up getting 90% of the people to agree on like dramatically changing the price. And then pretty recently she came to me with a new proposal from someone who wanted to do who she did business with like years ago, who grew like 10x the size of their corporation, and she was charging like, to me, peanuts, like, you know, a couple grand for the last time. And she was asking me how much she should charge, and we were kind of packing like, well, how much is the company making, how many people is it, what do you want the result, like what do you want the relationship to look like? And we essentially like settled on, you know, mid, $40,000-$50,000, right? One of those two numbers, depending on like the length of the contract. And, you know, I was talking to Heather and I was like, man, like, wow, she's about to go from like $3,000 to $40,000 charging, right? Off rip. She's dubbed, like, she's, you know, skyrocketing revenue. She's really, you know, really well known in her space. And it was almost this perfect recipe of like, I'm really good at helping people offer sales strategy and things like that. And that's exactly the gap that she needed to fill. And I was like, man, I really want more clients like this who are struggling with like this very particular problem, who are the exact same kind of area in life and area in business. And if I can like, you know, times that by 10, I mean, like life will be good. Life will be easy. Life will be awesome. And so that's kind of a little bit of a, you know, backstory of the situation.
The fun part about this, Josh, I would actually really love to get your take on this because Josh, how long have you been in business now?
1 year so far.
Okay, so in 17 years of being in business for myself in one aspect or another, not the same company by any means, but in 17 years, I have come across all in all 4 unicorn clients. And I've covered a handful of industries, like a pretty solid handful. But I did kind of like have a come to Jesus around the idea that like Desmond's chasing a pipe dream, but not necessarily to like pop his bubble, but more to show people, like show him and show anybody, like those unicorn clients, they're the inspiration pushers. They are the people that like feed the beast, but they're not the people that pay the bills. So I'd love to hear, if you have a unicorn, if you've come across a unicorn as of yet, tell us about your unicorn. If you haven't, what would be your unicorn? And do you think you can find more than one of them like successively and on repeat, like Desmond's really wanting to?
Oh man. So far in my journey, it's crazy too, because I'm seeing this from a different perspective, but I feel like it's the same revelation and the same outcome for me as well. Where I haven't actually connected with my dream client yet. Had a couple of different things of seeing myself as like, you know, working with different clients, like, oh, you know, I'd love to work with people that are just like them, that are on fire and blah, 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 blah. And then ultimately just realizing like, there's too much push-pull factor. There's too much of, you know, controlling that happens within that and micromanaging that, you know, kind of takes the creativity away from the process. And it makes it more about something that, you know, you have to hold on to as long as you possibly can. And you don't allow it to actually flourish into what it needs to grow into. So if I say for myself, to answer your question, one, who is my like unicorn type of client? I would say it's more of, so the passion project I have in the long run coming from like it's really giving back to athletes. That's why I had to calm myself down the other day when you were, you know, talking about, you know, working with athletes and what you've noticed about, you know, that process, because that's entirely 100% what it is. And my thing is my unicorn will be working with athletes that understand and are ready to focus on their branding and their marketing efforts and being able to maximize their platforms. Or their social media platforms, their offline platform, you know, for a greater good, that not only just within what they can provide for the community, but how they can also enrich themselves, how they can cultivate the talent, the passion, the gifts that they were given, and the skills. I'm sorry, turn that gifting into a skill set outside of, you know, or off the field, or, you know, outside of the sports realm. But they can it can complement the sports realm pretty well. That way they have a smoother transition beyond just their sport, which is what we've always known our identity to be. That way you're actually growing and you're allowing other people to grow with you in your journey. And it's bigger than just being a sport, which then you can also leverage when it comes to the negotiation table, when it comes to, you know, being able to do a contract extension, or, you know, this brand collaboration or, you know, acquisition of sorts. So just being able to empower them in a bigger way to realize that their platform is a really powerful thing, and they can, I'm sorry, say that again.
No, keep going.
Oh, so they can see how powerful their platform is. That way, overall, they know how to, you know, be able to use that as a way to enrich the world. And like I said, starting with themselves. That's, I know that's more of like a 5 to 10, 15 year vision. The more immediate, as far as the unicorn, I would say would have to be service-based businesses / e-commerce brands or entrepreneurs, or I should say just businesses in general that get it when it comes to marketing and realizing that video production, video marketing is really the wave of the future of being able to create multiple assets for them that are going to be able to help them do less but gain more over time. And being able to leverage that in many different ways that actually makes the creative process more and more fun, because it makes it all about them and what lights them up, what, you know, made them start their business, or what, like you said, aha moments, you know, came along the journey that they can then enrich the people that they're really their customer base with, that allows them to really scale up in a much bigger way. So I'd say right now that would be the unicorn that I'm mainly going after. Do I believe that I can work with multiple? 100%. Do I believe that I have found multiple to work with right now? No. I think, was there one more question that you asked?
No, keep going.
I would love to work with them. And I think that that's where I've gotten myself stubborn in many ways, from, in essence, not maybe the ego in me wanting to have it my way all the time. Right. And like you said, like one thing that I've heard from a mentor up in the creatives, it was a multi-million dollar creative agency up in Beverly Hills. The one thing that he says all the time is, his name is Chris Doe. He runs the future.
Okay. I know him.
Oh, man, that's awesome. One of the things that he talks about is how, as a entrepreneur, as a creative, you have to get to the point where you embrace the suck, meaning the stuff that is going to pay the bills that you might not be totally inspired by, but you embrace the suck that then allows you to have somewhat of a buffer as you're working on those passion projects, or whether it's spec work, whether it's, you know, maybe, a smaller priced, you know, project. That way, over time, you're cultivating that skill set and that craft, and you're mastering your craft, which allows you to then, you know, acquire the bigger productions or the bigger projects that you want to take on long term. But you have to go through the suck of understanding what it means to have and to work with the clients that you don't necessarily want to work with, or the corporate projects that, you know, really aren't the most creative in a way for you to then not only embrace that part of the process, but also to understand that, hey, now I have money coming in where I'm not stressing about. I'm not stressing over the money aspect of the business, and I'm able to allow the business to grow by, you know, being able to hire other people that can do things that we can't do, that then allow us to scale up in value and scale up, you know, what we're able to do for people, which then allows us to charge more, you know, what have you. So he's a big one on starting from point A, going through the suck, then allowing that creative and that passion to really flourish long term. And I think I've understood that for a while, but I think I ran away from that for some time, and I allowed that ego to be like, no, there's no way. Like, I know I can do it. I know I can get it now. I like year one into the business year, you know, going on year two, like, I know I can do that. Yeah, you can. It's just, you're going to deal with a much different roller coaster than you would if in the game of entrepreneurship, you know, rather than just being able to go through, learn from the wisdom of other people that have had that same ego mindset, you know, gone through the same exact trials and tribulations that you can avoid if you just allow yourself to be humble and to continue, or to humble yourself enough to be able to receive the wisdom and to apply it into your life. So I think that's where I'm at right now.
I like it. Okay, so Desmond, and this is only because you and I have worked together for long enough that I feel so inclined to ask you this question. Where's the gap? What's different between you and him?
I think the difference might be like stages of like,
yes,
I've like found this like dream client, and it helped me like get really crystal clear on who I want to serve. And I'm also like testing my offer, like my deliverables with that client. Mm-hmm. With that particular dream client. So I think that's probably the difference, just difference in stages.
Stages and forced repetition. So this is a fun little, like, I don't know. It's a fun little space to play in. People understand this. Forced repetition causes your human condition to stand out in your business. So, Desmond, this isn't your first business. This also isn't your first set of offers that you've tested. This isn't your first set of, you had dream clients in a different part of the sales space a couple years before I met you.
Yeah.
You had dream, you've seen the unicorn in a couple of different what we call sectors or niches in your industry or in your niche. A couple of different sectors in there. This is Josh's first little sector. So he doesn't have crispy edges yet. So the reason why I've come across 4 unicorn clients is because I have launched, managed, and run businesses in 6 different industries across probably 4 major sectors out of the 8, 4 of the major sectors in the world. So I've stretched myself out quite a few different directions. Like, I worked in art and media. I owned a branding firm for 9 years. I did small business branding, brand development, and like small business brand recognition. So boutique style businesses forever. I was a graphic designer and a web developer. And then I was a programmer and a developer. And then I got into the tech space. And then I got into the software and functionality space. And then I got into problem solving. And right about the time I was down near burnout, the light bulb turned on because I found the thing that I was best at doing when I was asleep. I could do it no matter what was going on. It wasn't the thing I was passionate about, so don't get it twisted. Definitely not my passion, but it's something I am the most proficient in, and that is problem solving. And it's problem solving using what we call like first world problems, like real world technology, real world application, real world like execution. But I found my first 3 out of the 4 unicorn clients. My first 3 came in the creative space, which is what Josh was talking about. So your unicorn client will change. That's why it's not a repeatable subject. That's why trying to, what we call duplicate yourself, or trying to build another you so that you can take things off your plate, is not a viable answer. It's not a business model. It's not a stress reliever. It's not possible. You can maybe, if you are super proficient at teaching, you can teach somebody to be somewhere between 68 and 71% of you. And that is not enough to hold up brand or at all reputation. It will kill it. But those unicorn clients, they are kind of like the lifeblood behind embracing the suck. And he's not wrong. You do have to embrace the suck. It happens. But the Megans of the world, Desmond, are what fuels the, I'm going to put out not my favorite version of marketing, sell a course and let everybody just buy it. I had a client the other day. But this just feels cheesy. I'm like, at what point has marketing not felt cheesy to you? Like, get real. Like, you have lost your marbles if you think that this is going to go any differently than it's going right now. This is marketing. Get used to it.
Man, so, you hit the nail. You hit the nail on the head. Like, there's a client. I mean, we all have clients or, you know, people like, they were like, man, I just don't want to renew this contract. I don't like, I want to fire this person, but if it's protecting the bag so that I can then keep playing the game, then it's almost like, man, I got to just collect the bag, provide value, and just like suck it up and deal with it, right? Like, I can't have everything my way. And that was a huge paradigm shift I had a couple weeks ago. And yeah, man. So, and I know, Josh, you probably have some similar stories where you wanted to fire clients, but you just collect the bag, man, right? Eat the shit, right?
See, I'm there right now, bro. Like, while she's talking, I'm like, dang, man, I know. Because, you know, like, you know, the one client I have right now, or the consistent one, you know, I was planning on oh, they're not my ideal client. You know, I don't really find fulfillment. Matter of fact, I don't really like working with this team. You know, like, it's just whatever. It is what it is. Now I'm like, as part of securing the bag, bro, you got to embrace that suck, you know, and just, even if it's not as, I think the thing with him is just, it's not as consistent as I would like. Plus, it's more so doing like technician work rather than actually doing what I believe my zone of genius is. Like, one thing I wrote down, Heather, while you were talking, is you made a statement that, you know, or a question, like, what am I best at doing even when I'm asleep? That's powerful. And I know for me, it's in the creative space, but it's not necessarily in the technician aspect of things. Having to be like the best camera guy or the best, you know, editor or gaffer and all that. It's none of that. That's actually not even what my background is. And so realizing that in some ways I find myself in that space, it's what causes me to feel like, oh man, you know, I don't really enjoy what I'm doing, you know, right now, especially not with this client. So maybe I make the excuse about the client, but it just means that I'm not happy with where I'm at in the stage of my business.
50% yes, 50% no. Some of it has to do with happiness. Sometimes it's happiness or where you're at in your business. But about half the time, it has nothing to do with the client or you. It just is what it is. Because when you look at a market, no matter how narrow you niche out, there is always going to be what we call the feeder and the flourisher. So the things that we love doing, like the, oh my God, I cannot wait to get started working on this. I will work on it on the weekends. I want to talk to you about like the new and upcoming next thing, like yesterday. Like, you will come across those clients that feed the beast. And they are the ones that Desmond and I were unpacking his unicorn. And I was like, listen, I was like, there's this catch, because unicorn clients are only unicorn clients when two separate sectors of the road meet. And it's where their human condition is exactly what you're looking for right now. And their gaps are the things that you are so proficient in solving. And they are so, while they're also so blind to them, that and no one's ever told them, you have to change this, you need to adjust this, you need to work on this. It's a three-part mess is what it is. It's a mess. And it's a mess that more often than not doesn't come along. Like, you'll get the gaps and the willingness to like execute, like the good client piece, but the human condition won't match. I'll be like, God, you drive me insane. Like, it doesn't matter how good of a fit you are on the business side, you are a personal irritation. So it's a buy-in. It really comes down to like all those parts have to be in the same place. But the feeder client is the avatars we build. I'm going to talk about marketing. I'll make this really easy for everybody to understand and see. When we build you out an avatar and say, this is the person you target blind for cold traffic, those are your feeder clients. They will not feed your soul. They will not inspire or incite like new genius. They will, however, need your product, understand what it is that you're offering, and buy what you're selling. That's embracing the suck. You embrace the feeder client, because the feeder client will not feed what keeps you running a business. Trust me, I have, over the course of my career, I was about 8 months into being an entrepreneur, and I took 3 years off. Now, I got lucky and I made a fuck ton of money like the first 6 months. And I mean a fuck ton. And then I took 3 years off because I wasn't sure that what I was doing was ever going to make me happy. And I built another company and then inevitably went back to the first company and was happy as a clam. But I've taken extended periods of time off where I just don't work. And I don't work because I don't have any desire to embrace the suck. When you get to that point, you either shift or you get out. It is no, there's no in between. There's no happy medium. There's no like, well, maybe for a little bit and this will change. It won't. If you do not have the desire to embrace the suck and feed the masses, then you simply get out or shift to a different business model completely. So, I mean, this is where unicorns come in. The unicorns come in because they are the sprinkles on the cupcakes or the sparkles on the snowflakes. They're the glitter and the glitz. They're the people that you let book calls outside of business hours and on fucking Saturdays. And they're people that you do some new crazy editing and technology thing. Like, you know, we tried this and I loved it and we executed it. I know you didn't ask for it. I know you were going to love it. So I just did it anyway. Like, they're the people that you just jive with. That's what makes most of it worth it.
Yeah, that landed for sure. So, you know, while we're kind of on this subject, like, I'm pretty curious to, like, hear a little bit about you guys' take on some powerful, like, access, not in terms of like the person, but like the time of your life, right? Like, because, you know, we were, you know, and obviously we're attracting unicorns, we want to attract unicorns, and obviously being on the supply side of receiving the unicorn is great, but I want to kind of go on the other end of it in terms of like when we were unicorns to someone else, in terms of we were in the right place at the right time to you know, receive the right information or get the right services or write the right connections in order to propel ourselves. So I'm pretty curious to kind of hear, you know, your unicorn moment where you felt like you're a unicorn and, you know, it like sent you to the moon, essentially a new level in life, personally and professionally, even monetarily. Could be any kind of unicorn in general.
Desmond, tell me your story first. This is gonna be a you first kind of day.
This is a you. Okay, whatever. That's cool. So I would say that I definitely had about three moments in life, and I'll talk about one since it's probably the most relevant one. Not to get cheesy, guys. I swear this isn't cheesy, but it was probably when I met Heather, right? Pretty surprisingly. I met her, I heard her talk on a conference call we were on the same project. And I was like, who the heck is this chick? And I was living in Ocean Beach at the time in San Diego. And I was like, man, I gotta hit this lady up. Like, what do you know? Like, I need to know what you know. So I reached out to Heather and I sent her a text message and I think a voice note too. I was at the beach. I'll never forget this. I was like, man, like, I never asked anyone this in my life. Usually, like, I've asked questions, but I never asked this. Can you teach me everything you know? Teach me, like, yo, like, can I learn from you? Right. Can I learn from you? And she ignored me for about like a couple months. And then I text her back again. Like, hey, you get my message? And, She told me to jump on a car, and then boom. Now we're like, man, she's like my mentor. She's now turned into my best friend and now my business partner. Hopefully we're going to get that finalized by the end of the year. But I went pretty far in terms of like the mental modeling is probably by far the most value I got out of our relationship, was like, just like processing information totally more holistically and asking myself questions before I rush to judgment. Right. So kind of like fighting my own biases, but also like trying to uncover the right information in order to make the right decisions. So that's by far the most valued. Like, everything else has been kind of cupcakes on top, but that by far has helped me tremendously professionally and both personally. So that was my unicorn moment.
Thank you, darling.
Oh, man, I didn't mean to get bubbly, but yeah, okay, we can let that sit in for a bit. yeah, so.
All right. You want a unicorn? When I was the unicorn, So I have had a really good friend and mentor for, oh, let's see, how long have I known Randy? Probably 5-6 years now. And I'm sure that I was a unicorn to somebody when I was much, much younger in business, but I had hit kind of a capped point in my business and I had zero desire to grow it. Yet it had a growth trajectory that was required. And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I want to burn this down. And I said that, like, word vomited it during a kickoff call. Randy was a new client. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I want to burn my business down. And he was like, that's not helping right now. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm aware. I'm like, trust me, I'm still the best. I'm the only person that does this. And it doesn't mean I like it. And it was the moment where he said, if you're the only person that does it, and you know that you do it so proficiently, and you know that finding clients is not hard, what is it that keeps you doing it? And I was like, it's bread and butter. And he was like, okay, so why burn it down? I was like, replication. It's not possible. I was like, it's bread and butter, but it's me. Bread and butter with me in the mix. He was like, okay. He's like, automate it. I was like, been there, tried that, didn't work. He's like, change it. And I went, what? I was like, you came to me asking me, you do realize you just bought something and you told me to change. He was like, yeah, change it. I was like, to what? And he goes, a different version of where you're standing right now. And he actually, like, I knew that he was the person that I needed to follow when he chose to use an analogy that concerns the multiverse. It's like, you're my person. This is going to work. We need to get Randy on the podcast. I'll have a lot of fun with this. But yeah, it was when somebody understood my come from for the first time. Because it's never about the money. The money's great. It's never about the money. It's always about the milestones. When you stop putting milestones in front of you, stop doing it for the money. Because if there's nothing you're trying to grab at, you're trying to reach for, you're trying to successfully actually accomplish that you have not done before, there's no more milestones, no more business.
Yeah, secure the bag, but don't chase the bag.
Precisely.
Yeah, got it. What about you, Jay Money? What you got, big dog?
Honestly, I'm just soaking all that in. That's, man. I think that kind of leaves me. Heather, let me ask you when I think you said his name was Randy, pardon me. When he told you when he was giving you different options on different ways that you could shift, how did you know which one was the right one for you?
Well, see, here's the funny thing. Like, Randy kind of started coaching me for no good goddamn reason. Mostly because I happen to have a lapse in judgment on a new client call. And he was like, yeah, I think we need to be friends. And you've lost your mind. And I was like, yep, we're there. But when it comes to, there isn't a right one. So let me reset your mental playing field. You're looking for what shift is my right shift to take. If you can see the shift as a possibility, if you can see what I call functionality in it, then that means it's a viable option. What you do is you disqualify a shift if the functionality is not there. If it's not viable, it doesn't count. You take it out of the mix. You put 100 different possible shifts in the same conversation. for certain people, some of them simply aren't viable. For other people, they are. So once you have a list of viable solutions, that's when you get to either say like yay or nay, and all the solutions will work. Like functionality, logistics always comes first. Like I will tell you, I'll say it now and probably 100 million more times. Good business is nothing more than good math. It has nothing to do with experiences, it has nothing to do with human. Good business is predicated on good math. And that is it. When you get on the other side of the good math, that's when you get good human. And if you can take good math and good human and good, like for you, this is what have you not ever taught him the trifecta?
Talking about a zone of genius, like you're.
No.
Mm-mm.
So in order for something to, the level, the measuring markers that are required for me to even choose to get interested in getting involved in something is that they have to meet what we call a basic trifecta. It has to be a win for you, a win for me, and a win for the world. So it has to be like, it has to meet good money, good sense, and good feeling. So if it can't fill, like if it doesn't fulfill all three of those criteria on the flat basis, it's automatically disqualified. It's off of my radar. I go through my email box. Technically, I'm supposed to go through it once a week. I go through it about once a month. And literally send out the same I'm not interested email, copy and paste, at least 1,000 times a month. Not interested in getting involved in this because it doesn't meet like a basic sniff test. It has to be functional. It has to be make sense. Has to be not an idiot move. And I have to it has to make me feel good. I have to get giddy about it. And then I'm like, okay, sounds like fun. Like now I'm curious. Then you're at the very beginning steps of negotiating or getting into or digging through, like viability is there, but do I want it this way? Do I want this shift before that shift? And if you take one of them and implement it, that does not mean you can't be like, 6 months later, you know, I'm going to go shift that one too. Now I'm going to go push that button because you narrow down the field based on viability alone. Outside of that, then they're all yours. They're all also the right choice. If you want to get like down and dirty in the right and wrong, they're all the right choice. They're all also the wrong choice. That's a gut check moment. That's a where do you be when you make that decision? Because I can absolutely tell you that I have looked at an ABC scenario, pick one of these three, and made a decision on a Friday, and on a Monday felt the need to make a completely separate decision and done a 180 because I felt like it. Fair enough.
Yeah, that's clear to me. I appreciate that. Thank you for the feedback.
So tell me, Josh, you tell me a story of one of your first big investments, either in your business, in yourself, big investments where you bought in and were like, this is the fucking ball. And you like literally like wanted to come off a hanger. Because more often than not, that is the moment where you are the unicorn for them.
I feel like for the most part, speaking honestly, for the most part, I think I've always had a sense of understanding like consumer behavior. I get we always have like, or not always, but especially with larger purchases, we can fall into buyer's remorse. I think I've had some level of buyer's remorse, or at least like that apprehension when it comes to even making big investments into myself or into my business. I'd say the let me ask you this. With answering that question, is it as if there's an absence of like buyer's remorse or potential fear, or is that in spite of that you still felt like, oh my God, this is the best thing in the world?
It has nothing to do with buyer's remorse. You need to get out of your head. Hmm. It has everything to do with like more. I mean, honestly, the moments that I've had in my career where this has been a thing for me, it's usually not something that's pitched to me either. It's usually something I come across or stumble across, like some of the best software I've ever purchased, some of the best corporate partnerships that Divi, Elegant Themes. I stumbled across them. Oh my God. I still rant and rave about them, and it's been over a decade. But when I've bought into something or when I've invested into something, be it buying a thing, buying a service, hiring a human, and I'm like, where it feels like you made the decision and then yet you get more excited. When that level up keeps happening, you're like, I can't, there's no way that this can get any better. It's fucking better. Damn it. How did that happen? Like that excitement, that's what I'm talking about. This has nothing to do with like how buyers buy.
Gotcha. I don't know if I've had that yet. I made a lot of investments, whether even from back playing sports, I made a lot of investments, a lot of things that like I was extremely happy about in the sense of like, man, like this is the real deal. But none that have had me at that level yet.
Really?
At least when I think about it, nothing comes to mind.
Desmond, you got some work cut out for you.
Yeah, man, you get to we gotta go deep on that, man. You gotta that sounds. I don't want to be a doctor here diagnosing anything, but in terms of is it okay if I give like my perspective, sort of if I have permission on the pod?
Yeah, always, bro.
Yeah, I would say like I'm sensing a lack of presence when you make purchases. Like consciously like dropping in and be like, oh, like feel like if you can't feel what's on the other end of a purchase, then like that's showing that you're not like under like living in that direct moment of that transaction. Like, cause money's just an energy exchange at the end of the day. Like I'm paying money to receive value for a desired outcome. Right. I'm paying for this caramel ice cream because I want to taste this caramel ice cream and I want to feel happy and whole at the end, right? I want to feel satisfied, right? So yeah, man, I think that you get to really like, now that you're consciously aware of it, I'm pretty sure that now that you cannot unknow now what you know, and hopefully you celebrate your next purchase, man.
Yeah, you're sure. Right. I don't do that. I actually, dang.
Not even in crypto. Like, have you had this moment? Like, if you not like bought a coin or a stock or even like, right. Have you ever made, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Like you ever bought any of
them? Like, when Bitcoin came out, oh, I exploded. I bought it. And then I was like, I'm the smartest person in the world. I'm the smartest person in the world. And then it tanked the first time. And I still felt like I was the smartest person in the world. Mm. And look at it now. I mean, a lot of people feel this way when they buy clothes, shoes, video game, like physical products, like that same feeling that like this for your mom. I get this very feeling and it grows exponentially moment after moment for what I see as like the longevity of forever. Every time I buy a pair of cable knit or like cardigan Uggs, I fucking love those boots. I literally can live in those kind of images. They are my favorite shoes. I have 5 pairs. I have sought them out very particularly, color, style, everything. And every time I put them on, I'm like, now imagine feeling that way about purchasing something in your business.
I feel this way every day, Heather. Like, even like my team, I'm like, oh, I'm so grateful for Kit. Like, so grateful for her. Like, I'm just like, I love it, right? Even like I stick some a crypto today for the first time, like Solana and some Harmony One. And I was excited about it. I didn't even get anything yet. I'm just like, huh, I'm excited for this 6%, this 6% return on my token, right? Like, I was like stoked. So I think like it's a choice more than it is like external. I think that's kind of what we're coming down to. Like, it's making a choice. And honestly taking ownership, right? And like
how you make choices.
Yeah. I think it's more of a choice than anything. Don't you agree, Heather?
Oh, I absolutely do.
Yeah.
Let me push back a little bit and ask you guys, like, because I mean, Desmond, you know me very well. I'm very analytical. And so I think that's one of the things that stops me from making any type of purchase, even the stuff that I'm like excited about, like crypto. Like when we were talking about crypto and NFTs and all that, I'm like, yeah, I made the investment. Yeah, like I'm telling like, yo, like you gotta get in on this and this type of stuff. And I'm you know giving all this detail. But with that, it's still like all I remember is like ever since I was a kid, I've always had that mindset where my mindset is always like forward focused, like future. Like part of my issue now, and it's funny because this is one of the feedback that you know my girl can give me often. Our close friends are like, "Hey, man, you need to start being more present. Like you're so future based that you don't realize that like you're mistaking, like you're negating the life that's right in front of you right now because you're so worried about and focused on what's coming, you know, down the road." And I've done that with football. I've done that growing up. I think it's because I've always lived in like a household, like an old school dad where, you know, things are more so of like, what's next? So even in football, I'd make a play. I'd have all these crazy stats or, you know, win these, like these awards or all state, all American, whatever. And I'm still like, yeah, okay, what's next? Like, I'm not hearing all that. What's next? Like, I got to get to the next thing. I got to figure out the next thing. You know, I can celebrate that later on in life, you know, when I build the empire. But until then, like, nah, man, I gotta stay focused on the next thing. So
I got feedback for you.
Yes.
Yeah, I got a lot of feedback for you. But first and foremost, it's less about being present.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a, we're going to call this a misuse of language. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with being present. It has everything to do with enjoying the present. Trust me, every second of every day through 3 divorces. Yeah, you heard me. 3 of them. I got 3 of those motherfuckers under my belt. And 2 of them were exceptionally expensive. They damn near killed me. And when it was all said and done, the what's next thing? Yes, totally the reason. My business is the reason I got divorced 2 out of 3 times. And I did it happily. I was like, great, you got warned. Fuck off. I told you, you could not have the cookie and now you want the cookie and I'm still telling you, you don't get the cookie. And yet, celebrating the win, it's about enjoying the present. The enjoyment of that, the interaction with it, the dropping into it doesn't negate the what's next. Like, that's great. What's next? And let's have a party. And by the way, Desmond, somebody gets to go. It's been a long time since I've said that. Somebody gets to go.
Josh already went.
talking about LA?
Yeah.
That's where I actually met Desmond. you know what's funny? That's actually the thing that Zach was getting on me about all the time, Des. It was like, yo, you need to be more present, man. You need to calm. You need to slow things down. And actually, like the
man,
check-in.
You need to go to Miami more. I can't get with your girl, man. You should need to go to Miami more, man. Maybe that's it. So,
my trigger for saying that you get to go had nothing to do with the slowdown or the speed up or any of that. It was actually when you were like, So I'm an analyzer, which means like this, it was A means B is not possible. I'm going to figure out what this looks like, and you two are going to pick the days, but we are going to do a straighten your shit out and get started on the right foot retreat. You guys are coming here.
Or you guys should just come to Colombia, because I'm not coming to step a foot in the United States for all of 2022.
I don't think you heard me, Desmond. Did you hear me telling you, what was happening?
You said come out.
I said you guys are coming here. There wasn't a question or a request in that. That was simply a statement.
Man, I don't think Uncle Sam could see me, but I think I'll cover travel accommodations for you guys to come meet me. I'm joking, but I think today was great, guys. I think we got a lot talked about today. And if you're in the audience right now, we want to give you a big shout out. Welcome to the end. And if you found this super helpful, feel free to share this with your network, like, subscribe, send us a review. If you want to come on the show, just go onto the website, campfirecapitalism.com, and let us know. We'll love to host you on the panel with us. It was great. I think we're out. Bye.